Hello there, and welcome to episode 199 of the FlameClash.net podcast. Here we are again, and it is June 29th, the last final weekend of June, and we're going to launch into political news first, because it's kind of a downer, I think, around this time, and then we'll launch into other things afterwards. Because here at the end of June, we're on the verge of doom. Yes, I purposefully rhymed to lighten the mood. Because the big, bad, beautiful bill made its way through the Senate. I'm not positive of what changes, if any, are there. Oh, and I'm Flame Flash, and this is Mordecai, by the way. We didn't introduce each other. We just kind of launched right in. But we're on episode 199. If you have no idea who we are, welcome. And otherwise, I kind of assume that two people that regularly watch know who we are. So, hi, Akilah, and hi, Karma. But yes, the big, bad, beautiful bill has passed the Senate. What you heard a while back, Mordecai, regarding dependents, it's less vague than I originally thought.
Oh.
The way they have worded it right now is anyone 7 and younger who is part of a single parent household or a non-traditional, and I'm using air quotes for anybody listening to the audio version. I don't think anybody does, but we'll do it anyway. Are declared as the non-dependents. So they are punishing non-traditional families, our family, veteran families who have a widow spouse. Again, they didn't think things through. The party that says they love the veterans is punishing veteran families. So any non-traditional family, based on the last time I looked into this, hopefully the Senate changed it. I haven't heard about the Senate changes. But children not in a traditional, big air quotes again, family don't count as dependents. And right now, Mordecai's facial expressions are kind of rotating toward disgust, confusion, constipation. You're exactly right, my boy. It doesn't make any sense because these people have left logic behind. But this was, I'm sure, their blinders on, you know, horse blinders on, zero tunnel vision on, line of sight is, oh, we're going to punish the gays and the women that just have a bunch of babies by doing this. We're going to encourage people to stay married, even if it's an abusive relationship, just for the tax benefit. They're creating an economic disincentive for women to leave their abusers.
Oh my God.
You know, because a traditional family is the man and the woman and kids. So if the woman leaves the man for her own safety, is awarded the kids for their own safety, you know, we're talking, since it's traditional family, the traditional reason for divorce, and I'm throwing air quotes out like nobody's business. Just assume there are air quotes if you're listening and not watching.
Yeah.
The woman has an economic disincentive now to leave or to even kill her abuser, because the moment he's dead or out of the picture in any way, shape, or form, the kids are no longer declared as dependents on the taxes. Now, fingers crossed that what I have read on this topic since you brought it up, I was wrong on my assumption. I thought, for sure, they weren't this illogical. They were this illogical. But my hope is logic has prevailed in the Senate version. I haven't heard anything about the Senate version. This is all reaction to the House version. But now the Senate version is done, and it goes to the House. So sometime this week, hello, child. Sometime this week, the House will get it. And what I assume is happening and why they set a July 4th deadline for themselves is so that they can get it to President Trump's desk on July 3rd. And he can make a big hoopla publicity statement stunt of, this is American Independence Day for, and he'll spout out a bunch of nonsense that he thinks is positive about this bill. Now, we have other dangers in the bill, like procedural dangers. So they're setting up additional rules for people to make it harder for them to sue the government. Yeah. Again, we get the constipation, we get the disgust, we get the I'm about to throw up look on Mordecai's face. Do you have any non-facial expression thoughts on the matter?
Just surprised that they keep saying we're the independent country at this point.
This is Project 2025.
Yeah.
And the harder it is for the citizenry to fight back via legal processes, the more likely it is that the citizenry is going to fight back through what would be considered, from their point of view, rioting. Oh, look, I'm using air quotes again. Which means they can institute martial law, no air quotes there, because an insurrection is taking place.
What is martial law?
Martial law is the suspension of the Constitution in an effort to, well, take over, to control. Other presidents have used it in the past. President Lincoln used it during the Civil War. It was a suspension of the Constitution's and rights so that the North could fight the South and keep the country whole. There are logical reasons why martial law might need to apply. Not usually, but civil war is basically the only one.
That makes sense.
Unless the reason for the civil war is unjust.
Yeah.
Now, back then it was, we want slaves! We don't want slaves! Rawr! Well, there's a very ethical standard there that, okay, slavery bad.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling for words because it's just that simple. School history books go, oh, well, it was about economics, and it was about this, that, and the other thing. Well, the economics of the South was rooted in slavery. So you can say economics until the cows come home, but the boiled down crunchy bits at the bottom of the pot, it was all just about slavery.
Yeah.
What it would be this time is those in power being fearful that they are losing power, which is entirely what's happening with the Republican Party and the legal coup taking place.
Do you think this could turn into another civil war, given how they are fighting for control while we are fighting for freedom?
That's the entire point of that No King's Day protest a couple of weeks ago, was to show everybody that's in power, air quotes, that here we are angry, we are disappointed, United States does not have a king. Knock it off. Stop it. Well, all that's going to do for those that are in power is scare them. And they're going to therefore set up these procedural problems.
And then they're going to push back harder.
Yes. So there's the assumptions of how things are going with the big, bad, beautiful bill. Obviously, I'm adding the word bad in there because it is. I haven't read or looked at other bits and pieces, but I just wanted to circle back to the fact that, oh, look, it's going back to the House. And what you had initially read and brought up was what was actually accurate. So, I wish I was right on my previous discussion of it, because the lack of logic is mind-boggling. Now, the other situation going on is that the Supreme Court finally ruled on President Trump's day one executive order attempting to modify birthright citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't actually rule on it. What they did instead was that they ruled on a procedural hurdle that the lower courts utilized. So they said nothing about the literal words of the 14th Amendment and birthright citizenship. Instead, they said, no, lower courts, you do not have the right to a national injunction against the executive order. So a national injunction means, because I see that question on your face, that I sue because I don't like this new law. I'm claiming it's unconstitutional, whatever it is. This has been something that has been plaguing presidents for a long time, not just Trump. It hits Trump pretty hard because he does a lot of things wrong and unconstitutional, but it has hit other presidents in the past. Other presidents have complained about the judicial branch doing this to them in the past. So what it does is, I say law X or action X is unconstitutional, please block it from happening. What a nationwide injunction does is says, oh, I agree. I am a federal court, and I agree hereby what I say applies everywhere. Now, the nitty-gritty is the judicial branch is organized and set up by Congress. And they have set up various districts, regions.
Mm-hmm.
And before national injunctions were a thing, you could have an injunction in District 1 say, yes, this is illegal, this is wrong, it should be stopped. We have cat butt, for those watching. While in District 2, a judge could say, oh, no, this is fine, because District 2 judge happens to be in the opposite political party district. So, for example, a California judge district predominantly Democrat might rule against a Republican president. Or vice versa, a district judge in Texas might rule against a Democrat president. Either way, they're putting out these national injunctions. Biden, for example, when he was trying to do his student loan forgiveness, got stopped by a Texas judge.
Of course it did.
Trump often gets stopped by California judges. So there's very much a party lines process, even though the judicial system is supposed to be politically independent and party blind. That's why the president is allowed, and why it's so important when a president nominates a federal judge and the Senate confirms said federal judge. That's why the Supreme Court is so important, because right now, we have a supermajority on the Supreme Court of Republican-nominated individuals, 6 of them.
Oh, lovely.
And we only have 3 Democrat-nominated individuals. And they do, for the most part, rule on party lines pretty strictly. That's why we got the presidential immunity Supreme Court decision a while back.
Honestly, I still don't think that should have happened.
It shouldn't have. But that's where we're starting to see the cracks in the system. Like, if you're going to break a constitution, especially this constitution, you're going to have to do it slowly, chip away at it, and install those that are maybe not as qualified, but will blindly follow. And that's what's happened here. The Supreme Court is now, based on this ruling, obviously compromised. Because they went, we're going to change nationwide injunctions. And we're not only going to change nationwide injunctions, we're going to say you have to have a class action lawsuit if you want to stop it for a wide field of people. So before...
I noticed you said at some part something was supposed to be neutral party. Why don't we go for, like, someone who isn't Democrat or Republican? Why go for Republican or Democrat at all?
Because those in power like to be in power and like to promote their same ideals into power. These individuals, the founders, were even not altruistic great men. They have their own personal fortunes. They have their own personal agendas. It just happens that them banding together was for the greater good. What we're seeing with Republicans right now is they are banding together because they see their point of view slowly dying out. Via education, via the younger generations just aren't voting with them. Via the older generations are dying off, and so therefore fewer people are voting for them. If people are educated, they're less likely to vote Republican.
Because there is a statistic on that?
It is statistic. There is a statistically significant difference between if you are educated or not, you'll vote Republican or Democrat. It's one reason why the Democratic Party has always been so fractured, because it's made up of a wide swath of individuals who are all thinking about their specific special interests, but with mountains of data behind them saying, this is how we should do this thing. This is how we should do this thing. Wait, if I, with my pile of evidence, go about thing X, it impacts thing Y, and I, with my pile of evidence, with pushing for thing Y, doesn't want it to be negatively impacted by thing X, so therefore nothing happens. Meanwhile, the Republicans are standing over here going, y'all dumb, vote for us. You'll get rich, trust us. And yes, I am super simplifying it. It is way more complicated than that. But that's what it is at the end of the day, in my opinion. Just my opinion. Big surrender hand motion here on the screen for those listening. It's just my opinion, or wax on, wax off. I don't know. The crane. Anyway. So, to circle back around to the injunctions, a class action lawsuit means if this action by the government is damaging to me and people like me, I have to get certified as a class, a group of people, and then go forward with my lawsuit. So not only does the Big Bad Beautiful Bill set up more difficulty in suing the government, this Supreme Court ruling sets up a new difficulty for suing the government. So if the police come knocking on my door and say, we need to take all your guns, just as an example, I could say, no, that's against my Second Amendment right. You can't take my guns. I'm going to sue you to get my guns back, because I'm not going to fight you. You're the police. I don't want to die. You're armored. I'm not, even though I do have guns. You're going to win because you came here with a SWAT team. And this is the proverbial I. I'm just using this as a make-believe example. I am neither confirming nor denying if I have weaponry or not. So please don't break into my home looking for weaponry. Not that anybody knows where I live, but be that as it may. But they also went to the neighbor and beat in their door and took their guns. So that means I and my neighbor have to individually sue the police department for this Second Amendment violation. I can't go, hey, this is wrong, I'm suing you. And a judge going, yeah, this is wrong, this breaks the Constitution, this breaks the Second Amendment. Nationwide injunction, the police can't knock on your door and take your gun. That can't happen anymore. I, because I have resources, sue successfully and say, you're breaking the Second Amendment. Meanwhile, my neighbor, who doesn't have the resources, they're barely making ends meet, can't sue, they don't get their weapons back. Unless I also went and used my resources to create a class, and suddenly my neighbor is also part of that class as a fellow gun owner, and now we band together and we grab other gun owners and band together, and so we become this class action that then goes to the courts and says, hey, we are a big class of people. tell the police to stop taking our weaponry. So that's what the Supreme Court has done. And what the Big Bad Beautiful Bill does is it's, at least from the House version, is it says, now you're going to have to pay extra fines and fees and processing fees to even get this lawsuit in.
That's stupid.
Similarly, maybe our whole block sues individually, not thinking we need a class action, that it was, maybe we're not talking to each other much. In some neighborhoods, they don't talk to their neighbors much. Or they don't see it because maybe neighbor one works during the day, neighbor two works at night, so they never see each other and don't know they're being impacted the same way. So they don't form a class. So this whole block of people are suddenly suing the government at the same time at the lowest level of the court system, which means procedurally now, the court system at the lowest level gets clogged up. So rather than one person suing for rights that will universally benefit everybody, you have 50, 100, 1,000 people suing to have their own personal right protected, all at that same district. So while the Supreme Court refused to rule on the 14th Amendment itself, by ruling the way they did, they have sabotaged the ability for anybody to successfully sue. And the process gets longer. Hence, the Supreme Court is compromised. They literally said, no, dear executive branch, it's okay for you to take some of our power. You're already immune from legal problems because per our own made-up rules. So now take more of our power, protect yourself more, and there's another reason for the No Kings protest.
Oh?
Just the people see the cracks. We see what is being set up.
Yeah.
And it's worrisome. Now, on the same side of the spectrum, other political scientists out there, just, you know, to not be all doom and gloom, are saying, oh, well, the pendulum has swung so far to the right with President Trump that when the next presidency, if there is one, comes up for election, we're going to get a far left candidate because people are going to go, we need all of this fixed from all of the fallout that President Trump and everyone under him has caused. Now, that's pretty cool, but we have to get to that point and survive to that point.
Yeah, because it's going to be, what, 3.5 more years?
Yep.
Plenty of time to for them to just corrupt.
Further corruption. You're right. That's why it's worrisome.
They've already got this far, which is the more worrisome part.
I saw one individual point out that we're approximately 50% complete on Project 2025 already.
Wow.
So, there you have it, you know.
Yeah. And didn't at some point Project 2025, maybe not the exact words, but basically said put Trump in full power?
Forever.
Yeah.
Or those like him.
No.
I agree, Thunder. I agree. She said no, for those that maybe didn't hear it or didn't get picked up on the mic. So that's why people are worried right now.
Something I want to say about the immunity for the president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the two people can't remember their names or much about them, but they tried to snipe Trump, I believe.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
I'm honestly indifferent about those because, one, if you make someone at a high power immune, you need to expect vigilantism. And, well, that's pretty much it. If either of those snipers were successful, I probably was just shrunk.
I can understand that logic. I definitely feel it. But yet again, we can't condone violence.
Yeah, but...
I know. I know. At this point, we're approaching the point where the only way to remove everyone that is problematic in power would be some kind of revolutionary act.
Yeah.
As Thomas Jefferson expected, actually, and wanted to see, but then he was very much of a French political idealist, and the French love overthrowing their leaders, or at least they did back then. We definitely don't condone violence here. This is all hypothetical. We are not supporting any sort of violent overthrow or traitorous act.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying I would support it. I'm saying I would be indifferent on it.
Oh, I know. I'm just putting out those other comments as a big asterisk for our FBI agent who might be watching.
Hi.
Yeah, exactly. This is all hypothetical. But yeah, you're right. There are some TikToks that hint at, oh, please let the headline be that President Trump has died of old age, or similar TikToks of, oh, the news doesn't say he's dead yet. And they never say specifically who they're talking about, but the heavy implication is that they're referring to President Trump, who is an extremely old, maybe the oldest president, I'd have to fact check myself for that, so we've ever had. So it's very likely, it's very possible.
Yeah.
And it would be very unfortunate to those who are directly connected to him and love him, just to extend the empathy and grace as far as we can. There are others that would celebrate in the streets because they have been directly hurt by him in a multitude of ways. So indifference is a definite, understandable reaction. Have you heard anything politically? Any political news?
Not really, other than just the Iran thing again.
And as far as Iran goes, we hit their facilities with a bomb that we invented, America. And it may or may not have done a tremendous amount of damage. And ruined their nuclear weapon capabilities. We just don't have enough information yet.
Yeah.
President Trump is going to say we won, but it's kind of like President Bush showing up on an aircraft carrier with mission accomplished banner when the Iraq war was just starting. You're celebrating a little too soon, but dude, that's all.
I actually saw a TikTok of Trump making the announcement, like, mission successful.
Yeah, exactly. We have not enough data to know if that's true or not. But last I saw, there's a ceasefire. I think we discussed that last week about him being so unhinged, and that's why there's a ceasefire. I don't think President... If Harris had been president, I don't think a ceasefire would have happened very quickly. I just don't. It's a fact-based matter. Trump internationally is viewed as unhinged and unpredictable, and Harris would have been viewed as more traditional, predictable diplomacy first.
And honestly, I think if she was president, I honestly doubt that it would have happened.
I'm not sure Israel would have instigated the missile strikes at Iran in the first place, because President Harris would have likely told them, no, don't do it. I'm not going to support or help you. We will protect the innocents, but we're not going to assist. And therefore, I don't think the situation would have escalated. But that's a different timeline entirely, and we are currently on one of the worst ones. So, personal opinion, and where things are as far as that goes, in my opinion. But I'm enjoying watching a sweet little cat curl up in Mordecai's lap. Ugh. Any other political thoughts?
Not really.
Okay. We're screwed! But be that as it may, life does go on. Egg prices are lower. Has nothing to do with the president, just like I've been saying all along. It has to do with supply and demand. The supply is recovering from the bird flu that had been going around that was impacting the egg prices in the first place. And I am making random hand gestures of, oh, look, I was right. Because I was on that. It had nothing to do with the president. It had everything to do with supply. And price gouging. Because the bird flu was happening, they're like, oh, we can charge a heck of a lot more. Even though the supply is such that we don't actually have to ramp up the prices as high as we are. They took advantage of the situation. But let's gently turn and distract with gaming. The Steam Summer Sale is going strong right now. I know you picked up Helldivers 2 for PC. Yep. You already have it on PS5, but this way, if the TV's busy, you have another place you can play it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. We also picked up Chain Together, which we've also played this week.
Yesterday. That was really fun.
And eventually that footage, sans microphone, because I didn't have the right settings selected, will be coming out on the blog, but it's in the backlog now of things to post, so it'll be a while. But it was a great game. It's a great game. I'm looking forward to playing it again. Today, we played some Civ 7. We had, how many? Let's see here.
Five.
Your brother, your future brother-in-law, brothers, one of your brother's best friends, you and me. So yeah, five people. I found it interesting that they threw you to the far north of the continent, your brother and I to the far south of the continent, and then the other two on a completely different continent. Kind of weird, but okay. Fortunately, we're all chatting on, you know, Snapchat voice, so we're able to communicate still, but
yeah,
weird. But there we are. And that was strong. The Summer Fire Festival in World of Warcraft is currently going on, which is what we'll probably go to in Killahoon with, or during, next. There's time walking happening in World of Warcraft, which we've also utilized this last week. Any other gaming come to mind?
Not that I can think of.
I know I've done a little more Night in the Woods. Game's still going strong there and really cool. I'm enjoying doing other things that when your brother played through it, he didn't do. And so while he watches my reaction to things, he's also seeing new things happen that he wasn't expecting. Or was expecting and just, you know, didn't know about, or it's been enjoyable in that way. Like I surprised him by going right, and for most of the game thus far, there's been a road construction crew to the right, blocking you from progressing on the map.
Huh.
And after a while, he stopped trying to go right. Well, I went right, and oh, look, it's open. And so suddenly I'm marching off to the right and looking at a sunrise or sunset, sitting on a bridge, and it's very artful. And it's just a pretty game. They did really well with the art in that game. Night in the Woods. Any other gaming come to mind off the bat?
I know I got the Police War Bond in Helldivers
Okay.
for the PC.
Yep. And then you've done some Marvel Rivals with Karma.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Karma, she left a comment of, "Og, why did you mention that? OMG, shush, 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 shush." Due to the celebratory dances that you were appreciating the previous week on episode 198. So we are just going to make reference to the celebratory dances again. Did you see any celebratory dances this time around, this week?
I believe so.
Excellent. Excellent.
And as usual, it was adorable.
Sorry, Karma. You left the comment. The Karma return. But with that being said, and to end on laughter and lighter note, is there anything else gaming-wise or otherwise that comes to mind?
No.
Okay. So, we will close out episode 199 of the FlameFlash.net podcast on a lighter note. I hope everyone has a safe 4th of July, a fun 4th of July, and a delicious 4th of July.
Live with honor and facts.
Indeed. If you want to write in, podcast at flameflash.net, or leave a comment on YouTube like Karma did recently, or write in. Or leave a comment on one of the blogs. Flameflash.net it is. Take care.